Our scripture for today comes from the Gospel of Matthew in the 5th chapter, verses 13 through 16. Hear the word of the Lord. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. God add his blessing to this, his holy word. Amen. Please pray with me. Father God, we pray that you would open us up this day, that you would help us to see that which you would have us to see, to hear what you would have us to hear, and understand what you would have us to understand this day. And we ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. So this reading for today comes from the Sermon on the Mount. And it comes fairly early within the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount starts off, as we all know, with the Beatitudes, where Jesus goes through and blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God, goes on and ends up, blessed are you when people revile and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Okay, pretty good start. But then he goes on and he starts talking about salt and light. That's a heck of a transition here. What the heck? Why is he talking about, all of a sudden, talking about salt and light? Well, many think that the Sermon on the Mount is basically a textbook for being an evangelist, for spreading what Christ talks about in here. So Jesus starts off with all the blessed bees, and then he lets his disciples and everyone else that has gathered there, he's letting them know exactly what they need to do. And he starts off by talking about salt. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but it's thrown out and trampled underfoot. Okay, so salt. What do we know about salt?
Sodium chloride.
Sodium chloride. Right, NaCl.
Preservative.
Huh? It's a preservative, okay. What else? It tastes good. Oh my gosh, French fries, buttered corn. Now, other than obviously it being bad in large quantities, raises your blood pressure and all of that, it's a seasoning. It enhances food. It enhances, you know, for me, it enhances my French fries. I gotta have my good French fries with my hamburger or my hot dog or whatever. It adds to the value, adds to the flavor, makes whatever it is that much better. Okay. What does that have to do with being the salt of the earth? Well, salt is a seasoning. Salt adds to the value, makes something better. Well, if we are the salt of the earth, that means that we need to go out and we need to make things better. We need to be the seasoning that the world needs. Well, what kind of seasoning can we give? The seasoning that we give is the knowledge of our relationship with Jesus Christ and how Jesus Christ seasons our lives, makes our lives better, makes it so that when you're feeling like death warmed over from COVID, even after sleeping 15 hours, feeling miserable, there is still that knowledge there that, yeah, I feel like crap, but you know what? My life's still a whole lot better because I've got Jesus. Now, the second thing is what Gary said. Salt is a preservative. If you think back to the days of sailing, the large ships, the voyages across the Atlantic Ocean, those voyages took about 100 days or so. Now, can you think of anything, any food that's going to stay fresh for 100 days, you know, for three months or so? Probably not. So what'd they do? What did they do with their meat? What did they do with their vegetables? They salted it. A lot of the meat they would put into a brine solution, and the salt would get in there. And the thing about salt is it dehydrates whatever it is put on. And by that, it sucks the water out of it, which does two things. Number one, kills the bacteria. And number two, it keeps the meat from rotting. Okay? So, we've talked about salt as a seasoning. Now, what about salt as a preservative? We're the salt of the earth. We know we're supposed to go out and we're supposed to season the world, make it better, talk about that. How the heck are we to act like salt as a preservative? Well, what did the preservative do? What did we say? It kept the meat, it kept the vegetables and everything else from rotting. This world's pretty doggone rotten, wouldn't you say? There's a lot of stuff going on in this world that is just making the whole world rot. So part of what we are called to be when we are the salt of the earth is to go out and to combat that rottenness. We're to go out and by means of our being the seasoning for life, enhancing life, we also help to stop the rot. We go out, and just like salt takes and kills the bacteria and keeps the thing from rotting more, we are called to go out and to combat the bad things out there in the world. The racism, the hatred, the bigotry. We are called to go out and combat that. So we are the salt of the earth. And we have to be careful that we remain salty. I know. Your parents told you never be salty. Or else, you know, you'd get a whack on the hand or whack on your bottom or whatever, but Jesus is telling us that we need to be salty. We need to keep that. Because if we lose that, if we don't keep our saltiness, we're worthless. And all that is that we're good for is to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Now, this would have made probably a little more sense to the audience that Jesus was talking about, because they got a lot of their salt from the Dead Sea. Now, the Dead Sea salt is not pure salt. It's got other stuff in it. It's got contaminants. So after a while, that salt, because of all of the imperfections in it, would no longer be useful. So again, we are the salt of the earth. He then goes on and says, "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one ever, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket or a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house." So now Jesus is telling his followers, "You are the light of the world." Now this struck me a little bit odd. Because if you flip over, if you look at John chapter 8, in verse 12, it says, "Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" So wait a minute. So Jesus, Jesus said, he's the light of the world, which is a true statement. Jesus is indeed the light of the world. He is the only light in the world. But now Jesus tells his followers, "You are the light of the world." So how can this be? How can Jesus be the light of the world and we be the light of the world at the same time? Does it make any sense? Does it? Or does it? When we accept Jesus, what do we say? We have Jesus in our hearts. Okay? We have that light of Jesus within us. If you think about on Christmas Eve, okay, we have the Advent wreath here, and on Christmas Eve, what do? We light the Christ candle in the middle. And then we go through the service, and at the end, before we sing Silent Night, pastor comes up and lights his candle, has some helpers who lights everybody's candle. Is that flame? Is that flame that we each individually have, is that the same light that comes from the Christ candle? I would say, yes, it is. When we do that on Christmas Eve, we're acknowledging the birth of Christ. We are acknowledging that he is indeed the light of the world. And we are acknowledging that we have that light of Christ burning inside of us. It's not our light. We are simply reflecting that light. And it goes on, "No one after lighting a lamp puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. When we have this light of Christ in our lives, it ain't meant to be hidden. You don't put it under a bushel basket. It is meant to shine. We are meant to shine to the world. We are meant to light up the world so that the world is not in darkness anymore. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Please tell me somebody knows that song. Excuse me. When Jesus is saying, you are the light of the world, he is basically saying, yes, I am the light. But he's saying, soon I am not physically going to be here anymore. And the light that I have is not going to be visible. However, my light is going to take shine in you. And you better not hide that thing. But you better take it out, walk around with it, shine it in the dark places in the world, shine it in the dark places of people's souls, so that my light can shine in and I can drive the darkness out. Both the physical darkness, the mental darkness, the spiritual darkness. In the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Notice, this again is a clue that this light that we are to be is not, we have nothing really to do with it. Because Jesus said, let the light shine so that people can glorify your Father in heaven. Now, how bright is this light? Well, you don't have to walk around with 100,000 lumen light, which my father-in-law used. He had the big one, and when he was looking down chimneys, it's doggone bright. And if you shine that in people's eyes, what are they going to do? Get away, no. The light of Christ that we carry around, it's not really that bright. But have you ever had a lit candle and walked in to a darkened room? Lights the whole place up. That little light can do so much. So, salt and light. We are called to be the seasoning to the world to make things better. We are called to stop all of the rot by spreading our knowledge and our experience of Jesus, all of his good things. And we are to take that light, this little light of mine, We are to take this light that I guarantee you will not go out. I don't care how big the storm is. That light will not go out. And we are supposed to go out and let it shine in this dark, dark world and in the dark, dark places in every person. So be salty and be bright. Amen.